Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
You know how at the Obsessed Network offices, you, me, Steve, Natalie, we're all making friendship bracelets for Obsessed Fest?
Yes.
Everybody coming to Obsessed Fest gets a bracelet.
Yes.
We were making them at home this weekend. This morning, Daisy asked if she could wear one to school, and I was like, sure. She goes, Daddy, where's the one that says Chardonnay all day? So I put it on her. I was like, oh, it's right here. And then she's brushing her teeth, and she's about to walk out the door. I'm like, oh, you can't wear that to school.
Yes, she can. How funny is that?
I took it off, and she went back and got Indigo Girls Celebrity.
Okay, great.
Happy Pride!
Speaking of Pride, I made friendship bracelets while watching the Tonys. How fucking
oh my
gay
God.
Is that?
It's my favorite thing. I cannot wait to hand these out. Oh my God. Hi, Julian Benzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, we are on the road. We're doing our tour. I gotta tell you, I'm warning. Some cities are getting really low and close to selling out. Denver, July 13th at 8 o'clock, very close to selling out. Chicago, July 15th, also very close to selling out. And then we're in D.C., Seattle, L.A., and New York City closing it down on August 26th.
That's right.
So get your tickets if you want to come and see us. It's crazy. We're doing the jinx. It's the best.
We're having a grand old time.
Also, please join us on the Patreon. Over 350 full ad-free bonus apps. You get them all the second you sign up.
I mean, instantly. That's not a joke. It's like you sign up and it's like, hey, welcome. And then they kind of throw like 400 episodes.
I mean, it's all right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
All right, girl. What are we talking about today?
Good grief, Charlie Brown. We are talking about The Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker on Netflix. I got some issues. I have some
notes.
Have you heard about Kai, the hitchhiking hatchet hero?
This dude went from this heroic, beautiful person to wanted for murder.
An absolute bizarre scene here in West Fresno. A man plows his car into a PG&E worker, pinning him against his truck.
Two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. So I f***ing ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Most people that are heroes are not homeless people. There was something funny about him and kind of cute and sweet and innocent.
He has such an endearing quality. There's so much charisma.
If you're going to glorify someone, you better know who you're glorifying.
Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, he's been arrested for allegedly taking the life of a man in New Jersey.
So bad!
All right, look, we're getting started. It's February 1st, 2013. We're in Fresno, California.
We sure are.
We meet our main narrator. His name is Jessup Reisbeck.
Yeah, he's a reporter.
What a name.
Yeah.
Jessup.
With a B.
I know. Jessup. Hey, Jessup.
Jessup. He's a good storyteller. He's a good narrator. He was there really for the very beginning of this whole story.
He's also like, this is neither here nor there, but I'm just pointing out. No, he's just gotten into shape because like when the story starts, he's like a little young buck, you know, and he's like early in his news career. And now he's sitting in front of us. He's like a muscle god.
He's wearing one of those sort of like gray, white suits that a very small number of people can get away with.
He just looks real good. But I wanted to say, he tells us
it's February 1st, 2013. I had been tabbed to report news that day. I was a sports anchor and reporter. And for whatever reason, we were short on news reporters. So this was literally my first day covering news. And it turned out to be, man, something else.
Jessup, what'd you think you were signing up for as a reporter?
He paints a picture. Picture it. He was at work and he's like, there's been a bad car accident. It comes through the scanner. And someone has been pinned between a car and what they call a utility vehicle.
Yeah.
I Googled it. It's a truck of some kind. It's not always an SUV. I'm not an expert. But I was like, a utility vehicle?
What if you were somehow an expert on utility vehicles?
I promise you I'm not. I'm not an expert on anything I talk about. But the driver is screaming these horrible things.
The driver who pinned this person against the vehicle is screaming these horrible things.
I'm Jesus Christ. I'm going to say something horrible.
No, don't say
I'm not going to say it.
They're just horrible, racist things that this man is screaming that
horrible.
We're not going to repeat.
God. Jesus.
This is when Jessup tells us he's a sports reporter. He's like, this is my first day.
Right.
Oh, my God.
They were low on reporters, so I guess very busy news day. So he's covering the story. Everyone's out
Doesn't
covering God knows what.
Everybody in the world want to be a reporter? How are they low on them?
I don't know. Busy news. Lots going on in Fresno, I guess.
I just feel like I went to college with like 800 journalism majors.
Uh-huh. Where are they all now?
Who,
are they
on
all
TV?
On television?
No,
or the internet? Whatever. So this is like trial by fire because it's his very first day covering the actual news, not just the sports news.
And he's like there and he's in it. And so the guy who was driving the car who pinned this person, the person is black, against like into this utility truck, screaming racial things at this person. Then innocent bystanders are jumping up trying to help. Trying to like get this man to leave this person alone, trying to save that person's life.
Because he did it because like the person driving the car pinned him because he's black. Like this is a racist hate crime, horrible fucking thing that's happening.
And so now other bystanders are trying to pull this. Also, the guy who pinned the person with the car is like 6'4", 325 pounds or whatever.
Yeah,
he's
big guy.
Huge.
And also just full of rage.
Yes.
Like that adds strength, unfortunately. So he's just out of his mind.
And so people are trying to attack him to get him off this person. He puts some like bystander lady in a bear hug and is squeezing her like a boa constrictor.
Someone who's trying to help.
Yes.
He starts choking her and then out of the clear blue sky.
You have to say it.
All hell breaks loose. Because the like someone walks up and attacks the driver who's attacking this bystander who's trying to help the other black guy who has been attacked.
Yeah, so the big guy is like trying to kill this other woman and this like kid, this like skinny beanpole of a kid with a fucking hatchet.
Yeah.
I look over, the guy's pinned there. Buddy gets out and these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I fucking ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Smash, smash, smashing.
Smash.
Smashing the guy on his head. And it like breaks. Basically, he saves this woman's life.
Right. So we don't see any of that, thank God.
Yeah.
Right? But we're here.
Until later when we see the graphic
photo. The graphic
photos.
Photo.
Oh.
I mean, it's a hatchet.
It is a hatchet.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So we're only here. We get here when Jessup gets on the scene.
Yeah.
Because
little
he's
baby
here.
Jessup.
Little teeny tiny baby Jessup. This is only 10 years ago.
I know.
He's grown up a lot.
I'm telling you, like, he found the gym, for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
But he just also, you know, people, there was someone that I went to high school with where everyone was like, when they grow into themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't always work out that
way. It doesn't
though.
Always work. But sometimes people are just like, oh, you've hit your stride in 2023. Like, fuck yeah.
You know what? 2023 is going to be my year.
I'm still waiting.
Now, when you guys see me on
stride.
Tour this year, tell me I hit my stride just so I can feel like I did.
Striding in your homosexuality.
Oh my God, I have to stop eating pizza in my homosexuality.
No, you shouldn't.
I have to live, Jillian. My kid's going to live to be, I got to live until she's in her 40s.
We're not food shaming here.
Okay, but I could eat less pizza.
I disagree. The minute this guy is on camera, he starts talking directly to the audience. The guy with the hatchet who comes and saves this woman.
Because what happens, like, the biggest stroke of luck in Jessup, the reporter's life, remember, this is his first day. They're saying, like, this guy with long hair attacked the guy with a hatchet, and then he sees the guy with the long hair and the hatchet, like, across the street. So Jessup runs over to get an interview with this kid, and it works.
And as soon as the camera's in his face, he's like, hey, just giving everyone, like, affirmations. Like,
before I say anything else, I want to say, no matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable, and it doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything, you're worthwhile. No one could ever take that away from you.
True, like, nice things that everyone is kind of like, I
it's
am
true.
Worthwhile. No one can take that away from me. You're right, hatchet-wielding person. Who are you?
It's true. But it's also like, I'm sorry, it's the first glimpse we have into this kid's unhingedness.
Yes.
Because not only, we're going to learn later, and they really go to like great lengths to drive this home. Like, he's kind of on a high from the act of violence that he's just performed.
And no one's really talking
no
about it.
No one really talked, because at first it's like, oh my God, you saved this lady's life and now you're speaking goodness and truth and lovey-dovey and it's great, but they're not realizing that he's kind of manic from having just performed this like feat of violence
that he very much enjoyed.
Exactly.
Because the thing is, Jessup and everyone was probably like, where's the hero? Where's
right.
the, and like they're already introducing that, like they're treating him like a hero and he saves this woman's life, like there's
for
no
sure.
question, right?
And that's the dichotomy here that you kind of have to wrestle with, that the documentary doesn't really wrestle
and
with,
and that's why I have notes.
He does do good things, but he also gets off on the violence of it all.
And so we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So he tells the story of what happens, right?
Right.
And he says he ran up with a hatchet and then he does, I miss this whole viral thing.
Same.
But he does the sound bite that goes viral, which is smash, smash,
smash.
And so Terry Woods, camera person, blown away by this guy. Blown away. Can't even believe that he gets to live at a time where this guy is alive and has a hatchet. He can't. He's like, how lucky he is, counting his lucky stars. The person, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, his name is Kai.
I'm Kai.
Kai, can I get spelling for you?
Straight out of Dogtown, K-A-I.
K-A-I, do you have a last name?
No, bro, I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
But the way he says it is endearing. He's like, yeah. I don't know. He says it with a smile. He's like, I'm just an unhoused person. But like, they describe him as sort of like charming, unhoused, cute kid.
Well, because he keeps saying like he's from Dogtown, which I think is,
skating reference.
Yeah, it's like Venice
Beach.
Not
like roller skating.
No, it's like where skateboarding became really popular and surfing and stuff. And so like, he just is sort of like the
guy. I looked that up. I didn't know that. I was like, you keep saying Dogtown. What are you talking about?
Again. No expert.
Is that the name of your hometown? No.
No. It's where escape. There's a whole movie about it, like documentaries about it, and there's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So Kai saves this woman's life.
Yes.
The original victim is still alive, and the racist is in police custody.
So, like, everyone lived in this tragedy, and, like, Jessup is saying, like, miraculously, no one has life-threatening injuries.
And this is the first time we hear that, like, people cannot understand that Kai doesn't want to just be on camera all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone wants to talk to Kai, and he bails. He's not into it.
Because he did this interview with Jessup, and now, like, all these other local reporters are chasing Kai down the street. And even Jessup is like, this guy is charming. Jessup cannot stop talking about how charismatic
lightning in a bottle. He's so perfect.
I know. And, like, Kai just doesn't want to be on camera anymore, which just makes everybody want to get him on camera even more.
And this is only, like, in Fresno.
Yes.
Like, no one else knows
local
unless
news.
You were there, right?
Yeah.
So that night,
I decided that I wanted the world to see the entire interview, the 6+ minutes of interview, because up until this point, people had only been able to see the minute and a half piece that I put on the news. So I put it on YouTube, I clicked upload, and then I went to bed.
He goes to sleep. He wakes up the next day. It's like viral beyond belief.
Now, what Jessup, I think, does understand and I appreciate about him is that nothing like this is ever going to happen to him ever again.
No.
Jessup has gotten, for him, the scoop of the century. It's his first day on the job. These are the kinds of stories you hear about.
Yeah.
He got the one interview with like the super charming, charismatic, unhoused guy who's like kind of attractive and also weird, but in that cool, kooky, zany way.
And he's a hero.
And he's
as
a hero.
Says.
And so like when he wakes up in the morning and it's gotten like 500,000 likes and shares and views and whatever, Jessup is like, my world is about to change. And he's right.
And it could change for Kai. Like, this could really change his life if people didn't want to exploit him, which everybody wants to do.
And that's the thing, is that, like, I have so much to say about this, especially at, like, certain points. If people loved Kai for being Kai, and part of what makes Kai Kai is that he doesn't want fame.
He doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't get it. And so, like, I completely missed this.
Yeah,
which
me
is
too.
Weird to say, because I'm sure I saw it, because seemingly everybody did.
I have some vague memory of the hatchet, but I thought he was the bad guy. It wasn't until I, like, saw the documentary that I was like, oh, hatchet wielding was a good thing in this moment.
Yeah. I even asked Mike, I was like, do you remember this? Because, like, we watched Colbert. Like, I was like, maybe I saw it, but I have no, it never sunk in. Like, I didn't have any memory of it. But it feels weird to say that I didn't know about it, because the way they present it is that, like, everybody knew. But I just have no memory of it.
And I think they might be overblowing that a little bit.
Maybe.
But anyway.
So Brad Mulcahy works for Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, my God.
And his job is finding human interest stories.
So I have this, like, note here that, like, this is a job I would have loved.
My job is to find interesting stories or interesting clips and bring them to rehearsal or email them to Jimmy or to track down what Jimmy likes. And then I try to find that person to get them on within 36 hours.
So he'll bring a story to Jimmy. If Jimmy will say, no, 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 yes.
Yes.
That one, you have 36 hours to book the guy on the show. I want him here on Wednesday.
Yes. We're going to meet a bunch of producers here, all of whom have varying motives for wanting to be involved.
They're just on the spectrum of exploitation.
100%.
Some of them aren't trying to be exploited, but some of them are.
Let's start by telling you that Lisa's like claim to fame is that she worked on the Kardashians.
No. It was a privilege. She had the, quote, privilege of working on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
But what Lisa says, and like, it's so problematic, and it's problematic because she doesn't know it's problematic.
Yeah.
She's like, what's so interesting to us, because this production company who makes Keeping Up with the Kardashians is very, very interested in making a reality show with Kai. They've seen one video of him and they want to make a reality show with him.
Right.
And she's saying, like, what's, no, these are her words. What's interesting to us about Kai is that most people who are heroes aren't homeless people.
And she goes, I want to exploit him like everybody else. But the problem is, and I quote Lisa, how do you find someone who's homeless? Like, that's part of, like, the chase for them.
Somebody at one point says, like, the chase is on. Like, I hate it so much.
And everyone is talking about how they track him down. And they're, like, calling Jessup because he's the guy.
Yes.
And they say, like, oh, he's the gatekeeper. And he is not giving Kai's contact information out.
Right.
So they're, like, trying to find him on Facebook. And, like, Jessup is the only person who can contact Kai. And he does.
I just want to pause here and say, like, so now we've got Brad from The Kimmel Show and Lisa from the reality TV production company all trying to find Kai. It is the part of, like, the TV LA industry thing that makes me the most crazy. They cannot imagine a world where there's a person who doesn't want to be on Kimmel.
They can't believe it.
And doesn't want to be on a reality show.
No one's watching this through to the end.
Or
Nobody.
That it would be bad for them to do it. Or, like, what is this kid's mental health situation that he is living in, like, an unhoused life and that he is attacking a guy who just has a hatchet on? Like, no one is, like, it's just, I guess it's so obvious, but no one is thinking about Kai.
It's very short-sighted and all about money. And at least the Kimmel guy is like, hey, we'll put him up for a little bit. He'll have a cool experience on Kimmel, whatever. But this, like, to immediately go to, like, reality show seems so, like, my God.
Because also what's about to happen is that Kai is going to, from the very minute he meets all of these people, he's going to tell them exactly who he is. Try to look past it because they see dollar signs.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
So Jessup has his email.
Subject, blowing up. Hey, bro, we'd love to do an interview with you about all the craziness going on around the internet and the world about you. The people want to hear from you, and we'd love to be the one that brings it to them. Hope all is good. Stay safe. Everybody was trying to get a hold of him, and this was a manhunt.
First of all, I love that an email opens with, hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
The hey, bro Jessup. Of it all. I
Jessup.
Know. But he's just trying to say to him, like, you have a lot of opportunities coming your way. Like, if you want it, I just want to let you know about it.
And so Jessup is like, let's do a follow-up piece. Me and you will go to the park, like, wherever you want to go,
because
and we'll
Jessup
just do another
interview.
Jessup
also knows, like, Good Morning America, everybody, international news is calling Jessup trying to get to Kai.
Right.
And Jessup is like, fuck that. I'm going to get, like, I've got the scoop here.
Right.
Jessup is seeing, like, a future for him in this, too.
Sure. And he's also, like, to his credit, I guess, he's not like, so then we'll take it and blow it. It's like, no, we'll go to the park and talk for another 10 minutes.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he's giving the people what they want, obviously. He's making a name for himself. But at least he's sort of letting Kai be who he is.
Yeah. And so, like, Kai gets the email. And then Jessup says, finally, he used someone's phone at a gas station and called me back. I was super stoked.
Jessup.
The bro of it all.
Stoked. He's trying to, like, speak the Dogtown language. I see, Jessup. Know your audience. I getcha.
But so, like, Kai tells him where he is, and Jessup, like, hops in his car and, like, drives up there. They get to the neighborhood. They see him, like, crossing the street. It's one of those, like, go, 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 go. They jump out of the car, cameras rolling, to, like, pounce on Kai in a park.
I don't understand how no one is reading the room.
I know.
There are certain people in this world where the more you make a big deal, the smaller they get.
Yep.
And no one is realizing that that's what's happening. So what Kai does is he tries to, like, use every opportunity when he's on camera to say things that are important to him and bring awareness to things. So he's on camera.
When he's speaking coherently, which isn't all the time.
So he's here with his friend Joan, and he's like, well, Joan is here. I mean, she's not necessarily participating in this, but he's, like, sitting near her.
She's another unhoused person.
And he explains, again, like, Kai's version of the story is that, like, she had just had a gun pulled on her by some, quote, policy enforcers, and it's ridiculous, and it's a vulgar display of power. And, like, yeah, like, that shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
So he has these very, very, very strong beliefs, and, like, he wants to only talk about that on camera. He doesn't give a fuck about the Kardashians. He has, like, something to say, and he wants to say it.
And also, Jessup is so dazzled by, like, the potential celebrity of it all that he's not, like, thinking or seeing clearly, but his cameraman says,
I think the biggest difference between seeing him in the viral video and being around him in person was that he was a loose cannon. Felt like his energy was just a little bit crazy. You know, like, he just had some weird energy around him that was like, you didn't know what he was going to do next.
Being around him was a little unsettling. And this is the first person we hear say that.
And this is a moment where, like, he's fucking famous now.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of blew right past it, but the numbers on how viral he was.
Yes.
He was auto-tuned. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
For, like, that week or two, he was everywhere. He was super famous. But he doesn't understand that. And so, like, they tell him, hey, like, what does it feel to go viral? And he, with no sense, like, he isn't making a joke. He hears the word viral, and he's like, what? I'm not a virus. I'm Kai.
Uh-huh.
And it was in that moment where I was like, oh, he's so out of his element. And this is where it starts to be like, they're not laughing with him. They're laughing at him.
Yes.
They want to see the freak and put him on, like, their words. I'm not saying that, but, like, they want to see, like, look at this alien.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens if we put him on TV. Let's see. And it's so fucked up.
And what's crazy is that, like, no, this whole documentary takes place over a 3-month period.
Yeah.
He goes from being super famous and saving that woman's life to being on trial for murder in 3 months.
And sent to prison.
And sent to prison.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
So they've done the second interview, and now they need B-roll. And so Kai's like, hey, there's a music store up the block. Like, let's go there, and I'll, like, sit and play the guitar. He sits down to play the guitar. Jessup talks about it like he's discovering Kurt Cobain
they
or something.
They can't believe.
The talent, the charisma, the lyrics, the performance.
It was phenomenal.
A breathless kiss slipping through the door. You got that shiny light of light in your eyes. You're the sunset that brings the twilight. Soft orange kisses fall on misses.
He's got his blinders on because he's not that good. He's fine.
He's fine.
You know what I mean? He's like any cute college kid in the Boston Common sitting down playing the guitar.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Like, anyway, here's Wonderwall.
I know.
But they tell him, like Jessup says, he says a bunch of words that Kai doesn't even understand. The producers of the Kardashian reality show want to give you a show.
Yeah.
Kai doesn't get it, right? So he's not interested. And he's like, all I want to do is go back to the Bay Area and smoke weed. I really don't care. And the producers can't understand why he's not excited. And it's like, you're not trying to understand him. You're just trying to exploit him.
And this is where I have, in all caps, in red, with a period after every word. And this is where it should have ended.
Yes.
Listen, I've been to enough meetings in LA that have gone nowhere to know that, like, this shit never works out.
It's nothing,
you know what I mean?
Until it's something.
Right. And so,
say it all the time.
You cannot force this person to be somebody that you, there's so many people out there who want it.
Yes.
That you cannot force this person who doesn't want it, but you want to want it to want it. It's, even if Kai were, his mental health was totally in check, he had a place to live, he had a car he could get to set, he wasn't struggling with addiction, which we're going to learn that he absolutely is.
Right.
Even if all of those things that are true about him weren't true, if he doesn't want to do this, you cannot make him do it.
But also what they'd say is, yeah, but he's not the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker.
Right.
The fact that it started with the hatchet is what they want. And
right.
So they're just focusing on that and trying to fit everything into their narrative, because Lisa from the Kardashians says,
at this point, everybody wants to get a hold of Kai. So Jessup says, hey, listen, like, Kai's willing to, you know, do something with you, but also Kimmel show wants him. So, hey, that's got to be good for us. Like, if we're really onto something, if the guy that we want to make a show with is then going to be on Kimmel, it can only make him more popular. So that's got to be good for us.
So then when we trick him into doing this reality show, he'll be even more famous than he already is. More money for me. That's what she says. She breaks it all down.
I cannot.
Like, do they hear themselves?
I know. And I cannot believe that. What do you think set life is going to be like with him, Lisa? You think he's going to show up on time? You think he's going to do what you say?
They're about to learn.
Exactly. But they're about to see, but they don't learn.
They don't.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
they witness him saying no in 100 different ways over and over and over again, and they don't learn. And, like, this is a person who's struggling with real mental health issues, and they they make it so much worse.
They make it worse.
And it ends in murder.
Right.
And no one's holding the LA people accountable for any of it.
No, they just keep ignoring him.
Yeah.
And sort of like stringing him along because like he says, he was like, I won't do this. I just want weed. And they're like, okay, we'll give you weed.
Yeah.
Sure.
A limo full of weed, she says.
And then, so they're just sort of like just inching the carrot, like inching the piece of cheese further down the line to get him to like follow in the maze.
And also he's got nowhere to sleep tonight. Like you're going to put him up? Great. One more day.
Like it's so manipulative.
Yeah.
So Kai's like, fuck yeah, I'm in. So he doesn't have any ID, so he can't get on a plane.
Oh my God.
So they need to physically drive him to all of these places.
Yeah.
So JR is a producer and Kai's handler.
Now, I like JR. JR seems to be the only person we meet in this documentary who has any real sense of, like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
Well, because the first time he meets Kai, he says, talk about periods in between everything. He goes, he is intoxicated.
Yeah.
Because they got him hammered on the way to try to convince him to do whatever is put in front of him, to sign any piece of paper. They just got him wasted. So he reeks of beer. He reeks of weed.
And JR says,
I had no idea who this Kai guy was. So I watched the viral YouTube video and I realized, gosh, I guess he's got some endearing qualities, but he also just made the news for bludgeoning somebody over the head with a deadly weapon.
Isn't he only famous because he only almost killed a guy with a hatchet?
Is no one talking about that part of it?
Like, right. JR's the only one who's seeing any of this clearly.
And so they shove a contract in his face. And
which he takes 10 minutes to sign, and he signs. So they're saying, look, he's going to go on Jimmy Kimmel tonight, and we're the production company. We're going to get him there. But he's going to be even more famous than he already is. We need this contract signed for this reality show.
It's so gross.
It's so gross. And like JR says, it took him 10 minutes to sign it, and he signed it in hieroglyphics. And JR's like, I guess we have our contract. How in the world would that be legally binding?
It wouldn't be.
Absolutely
They don't
not.
Even have a show yet. They're just having Kai basically sign his life over to them.
Yes.
They don't even know what the show is yet. It doesn't matter. They don't care. It's so disgusting.
Lisa has an inkling of an idea of what the show would be. Her words are,
we weren't really sure exactly what the show was going to be, but I think what people saw at my company was that Kai could be a gateway into a world that we never saw. Homeless people living happily on the streets.
Where homeless people are living happily on the streets.
Fuck off, Lisa.
And she just
doesn't hear
herself, you know?
You were in the Kardashian bubble,
right?
First of all. Like, so how out of touch are you?
It's just, there's a difference between, like, van life people who are, like, traveling nomads who, like, right. have a place to go at the end of the night and people who are just suffering, even if, like, Kai doesn't look like it, but he is suffering.
Yeah.
Sit down with him for 2 minutes and you would get to know him on a human level for 5 seconds and you would see that.
Yeah.
I don't mean to speak for the entire unhoused community, but I don't imagine there's enough people who are thrilled to be living on the streets that you can make a TV show out of it.
Right. Not to quote the Kardashians, but Kim, there's people that are dying.
I know.
Like that, Lisa, wake
it's
up.
It's also just so exploitive.
It's so, and it's so clear, like, you were all having these meetings and having these conversations and no one said, whoa, we have to listen. Oh, whoa.
Right. I mean, what kind of vacuum must you be living in that production
even
company?
Even as you're explaining something that somebody else said, I'm feeling like, oh, dude, that's gross.
I know.
Like, I have to, like, what?
I know.
And Jessup warns them. Because Jessup isn't part of this reality thing. He's up in Fresno. He's covering the sports.
Jessup is like the original guy that found him.
Right. Who was supposed to be covering the football team or whatever.
Right.
And like got, sort of also got thrown into this
as
well in his own way. He's like, I have to tell you something. This person is exhausting. He's a lot of work.
Yep.
It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be worth it. It's not safe.
Nope.
I know I'm just the sports guy up in Fresno.
No. I'm getting hotter every day.
But like, I urge you.
Yeah.
Do not do this. They do it anyway.
They do it anyway. Of course they do.
They go to Los Angeles.
And these people are so stupid. They take him to the worst place you could take a guy like this. And I just mean because he's going to be himself. And they take him to the Roosevelt Hotel, which they tell us is where Marilyn Monroe used to live and where they used to hold the Oscars. You need to get this guy to a safe place if you're trying to get him to the Kimmel show tonight.
And it's also the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is tourist central.
Yeah.
So he gets out of the car and within 30 seconds,
people are driving by and they're saying smash, smash, smash. So I'm just standing there. I'm not watching him. He's an adult. Lisa comes back around the corner and I could see her and she looks at me and she stops.
Kai has his pants pulled down.
And he's urinating on Julio Iglesias' star directly in front of this hotel.
He's peeing on Julio Iglesias' star?
Julio, out of out of this.
I know.
International superstar Julio Iglesias. What how dare
Julio
you?
What did Julio Iglesias do to you?
He only sold a zillion records.
I know. And Lisa had said to Brad, look, I've been with him for 26 hours. I got to go park the car. Can you watch him for 2 minutes?
Brad's like, sure. He doesn't.
And he's like, he's a grown adult. I don't actually have to watch him. 2 seconds later, Brad. He's pissing on Julio Iglesias.
And so they finally wrangle him and get him. And no one was like, we're pulling the plug on this.
Uh-huh.
No one was like, let's just get him to Kimmel. Because the Kimmel thing is separate from the reality show thing.
Yes.
So just to be clear, the reality show people have now sort of taken over getting him to Kimmel.
Right.
Because if he's on Kimmel, he'll get more famous and it'll help everybody.
Yes.
Their words. So that's why they're involved here. So they get him upstairs. He goes straight to the minibar. He is downing Jack Daniels like it's water.
And like Lisa says, these are not airplane size bottles. These are regular like bar size bottles. And he cracks it open and he's drinking it from the bottle.
And he's trashing the room. He's just going crazy.
He's a person that is suffering. And it's just what they're doing to him is just so awful. And like,
it's sensory overload too. So he's in this car and he's fucked up. They like plied him full of beer on purpose.
Right.
So he'd sign his life away. And it's just not okay.
If you haven't seen a picture of this kid, he also weighs 130 pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's drinking Jack Daniels straight from the bottle.
And it's like, have you given him a meal?
They do try to get him food. They take him down to the lobby of the Roosevelt Hotel to like go to the restaurant or whatever. He like gets on his skateboard. He's skating through the lobby and security just throws them all out.
All of them. Kai, the crew, the producers. And one of them is like, they don't even know how he was peeing all over the Walk of Fame.
I know.
They don't even know about that part.
Also, I'm like, I gotta go to the Roosevelt Hotel next time I'm in LA.
I know, we have
to go. Sounds so fancy.
I'm not staying there when we're gonna be there in
August. No, but let's go for a drink. Marilyn Monroe used to live there, you say?
Okay, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I know.
Packed. So they kick everybody out and Kai's like, cool.
And then he took off running ahead of us and pulled out a huge knife and tried to throw it into the ground.
Okay, like, it's a little scary. Like, you know, at first we were intrigued by Kai and finding him and all that stuff. And now we're kind of like, are we okay?
And everyone's like, okay, this is scary now.
But, like, once again, not only do they not, like, say, we're going to pull the plug on this, get this kid some help, and go on with our lives.
Of course not.
Producer Lisa's like, you know what? I'm going to take him home with me.
Because she has to get him to Kimmel. She has to get him airtime because it's good for everybody.
I just said, how is this allowed in your job? You should get fired just for doing this.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. Any kind of, like, sexual assault claim he might have against you, mm-hmm. or he might murder you in your sleep.
We don't know.
Or, like, how is this? It is so completely, they've just decided that this kid is really unwell enough that, like, what they've been through today, and she's like, rather than getting him some help and going on with her life, she takes him home.
You know why? Because it's fucking great TV.
I know.
That's what she says. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just the two of them. And she wants to keep him there so, like, no one else gets to him.
Yep.
She can have eyes
on
him.
She's willing to die for that.
She
you know what I mean?
She can make sure he gets it to Kimmel, which isn't even her show.
I know.
So that she can make this yet unnamed reality show that is never going to happen.
Do you think Jimmy Kimmel saw this and was like, what?
Wait, that was had the whole time?
You did what?
I mean, maybe.
I know.
I can't imagine. I mean, those late night shows, it's like you forget about everything. You're like goldfish.
I don't.
You forget about everything immediately. So
she, according to Lisa, he's a perfect gentleman.
She's like, he was fine. He played guitar. But in the same breath, she's like, but however, thinking there definitely was something kind of dangerous about him. And I'm like, Lisa.
I mean, you're willing to die to make another Kardashian. What is going on?
But then we don't know because now it's February 11th, 2013, 10 days after going viral.
We're only 10 days in. Doesn't it feel like we've been doing this for a year?
Yes. We don't know why Lisa's done with Kai. She doesn't explain. She's just done. She goes, Brad can have him. Take him. Do whatever he wants.
Totally.
And I'm like, what the fuck happened, Lisa?
I know.
What happened?
Can you imagine 10 days with him? He's throwing knives. He's drinking booze out of the... He's pissing on everything.
I cannot
imagine it.
So Kai arrives at Jimmy Kimmel. He's peeing once again.
He gets out of the limo and he's pissing on the Jimmy Kimmel sign.
Yeah.
Everyone goes crazy.
It's very annoying.
It's annoying. It's disrespectful. It's also disgusting.
It's disgusting. And like, he's like, oh, sorry. But what I think is happening is that everyone's like looking at him about what he's going to do.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's just reacting. Like, one, he's unmedicated. He's manic. He's going, but it's also sensory overload. He's never had anything like this. Everyone is like watching him to see what he'll do. And I think he's doing a lot of things to get a reaction, like fucking pee peeing everywhere.
Yeah, and also they scoop past us pretty quick, but Jessup, the original sportscaster guy, he's there.
Yeah.
Like, Jessup is definitely looking to, like, make this work for him, too.
Right.
You know?
So they wrangle him. He's like, oh, sorry. They wrangle him. They bring him inside. He meets Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel gives him $500.
Which I was like, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, paying him $500, but he gives him an envelope of cash.
Right.
This is enabling behavior.
Right.
Number one. Number two, it's also, like, illegal. You know what I mean?
But he doesn't have ID. They can't just, like, sign up for the direct deposit.
I guess. And Kimmel doesn't know, I'm sure. But Brad should know better. You can't give somebody, like, do whatever you want. And he gives the money away immediately anyway.
He gives it to the security guard.
Yeah.
As an apology for peeing on the sign.
It just, none of it makes any sense. And Kai doesn't know how to look out for his own best interest. He needs that money. That's like food money. That's getting a place to stay for the night money. And Kai, he's just giving it away. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Watching him spiral like this and watching the people around him just letting him do it, it's awful.
Right. So it's 90 minutes before the Kimmel show.
Oh my God.
The fucking Fuzz walks in. Cops are here.
It's chaos down
I'm
here,
like,
Tom.
The Fuzz?
No, I know.
Jet McBride, who was the driver of the vehicle that smashed into Rayshon Neely, the PG&E worker, is in custody. And Kai was our key witness. The district attorney investigators didn't know where Kai was, but social media being what it is these days, Jimmy Kimmel tweeted, Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, will be on the show. So they left Fresno and headed on over to L.A. to meet with Kai.
Jimmy Kimmel, that sweet, beautiful idiot, tweets that the hatchet guy is going to be on his show tonight, so the Fuzz comes down and picks him up.
They're like, oh, great.
But meanwhile, all the work that Lisa and Brad and Jessup have done to get him to the Kimmel show, it's been 3 days of pure fucking hell.
Right.
And now they're whisking him away before he even gets to go on air.
Well, they bring him back in time for the Kimmel show. So they talk to him.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that later, because it's like attempted murder and a hate crime.
Yes.
And all this shit. So,
yeah.
Like, Kai has value. He's maybe the most unreliable narrator.
Yes.
They can talk to, but here they are. But they bring him back in time for Showtime.
And he does, like, this makes me so nervous.
Because
Brad, the producer, is like, look, everything I did to get him here, I did. But I have no control over what happens when he...
Exactly!
I know, and it's so...
Exactly.
I was so... Because it's like some sketch where Jimmy's driving in a car and it's a green screen and he's like, I'm going to pick up the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker.
Right, right, right.
And then, of course, Kai, like, jumps on the top of the car. It's all live. And Kimmel's like, don't stand there. I don't know if the car can support your weight.
Jimmy, like, I don't know what the tea is with Jimmy Kimmel, if there is any, but
yeah,
he handles this very well because he's pretty unflappable.
A lot of people are calling you a hero because you thwarted that crazy guy, right?
Well, there's not so much difference between him and who they sell as Jesus anyways, is there?
Well, I don't know. I haven't met him. Did he have a beard?
No. No. He's a fat, rich white guy.
Now,
You would also be unflappable. You are unable to be flapped.
I'd have a lot of fun hosting a late night show, I think.
That would be great.
I would pick my band. It would be like Letters to Cleo or some like fucking... Yes. With like Fiona Apple on the piano.
And if I could be like you, I want to be a guest, but that night it's the Indigo Girls.
Okay, fine.
That'd be great.
They would be the musical guest. I would make sure that they'd be the musical guest when you...
Oh my God.
That would be fun.
I love living in a world where you host a late night show.
I kind of want to do it now. No.
I would want to do it, but I can't stay up that late.
They film at like 3
in
the afternoon. What are you, crazy?
A perfect gig.
So Kimmel invites him back the next day.
So like
to exploit him a little more,
which
I guess.
I don't understand, because everyone's like, it. Like, he was crazy and totally unpredictable, but they're like, let's bring him back tomorrow and have him do movie reviews, except they actually want him to watch the entire movie of Zero Dark Thirty. What?
Now, this is where I realize, where it really hits home, he's not in on the joke. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get that he's famous.
Uh-huh.
He's not trying to take advantage of the situation. They're taking advantage of him. They're not laughing with him. They're laughing at him.
But also the people who are dealing with him, like, on the day-to-day are just frustrated. Brad's like, so we got to do this movie review segment. Can you just watch the movie? And he can't focus long enough to watch the movie.
He can't even watch the trailer.
The 2.5-minute trailer he can't watch.
And, like, of course not.
Right.
Because he doesn't care.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want this. And they can't believe he doesn't want to be a Kardashian.
I know.
They cannot. They can't understand why, if this is, like, being offered to him, why he wouldn't accept it. And it's like, fucking deal with it. Sometimes people don't want that.
I agree.
And also, he needs help.
And, like, I don't know if this is going to be, like, an ongoing segment, but they do it once, and they're like, never mind, bye.
Because, and he does that thing where, like, they're treating him like an alien,
yeah,
and he is just talking, he's going on these rants about, like, the government and law enforcement.
Zero Dark 30 is about how we're being told to keep our bodies alkaline and being fed fluoride in the water. So if they would a chemtrail over side your house with scopolamine and try to get you all to act like zombies so they could slay y'all and take your houses, then that would be a good way of doing it.
And he means it. Like, he believes it. It's important to him. And you just hear, like, laughing in the audience. And it's like, what are you doing?
Well, but it's also a late night comedy show. Like, they think he's even doing a bit. Like no. It's just so bad.
Yeah, that did not land. So then he just, like, goes back to where he came from. He, like, goes back to Fresno. All he wants to do is, like, surf and play music and skateboard. And so he just sort of walks away from the reality show thing.
Yeah. But so he's just, like, he's so famous now.
Especially in that time. He, like, went back to the scene of the crime.
Exactly. Right, he's in Northern California. You know? And, like, he's doing, like, music gigs, places. And people are seeing him on the street. But the other, like, you hit the nail on the head. Because we see so much footage of people recognizing him. And him being like, oh, bro, if you want to take like 100 pictures, can you just buy me a bottle of
that
something?
That was fucking so sad
it's
when he said
that.
It's
brutal to watch because even the quote fans that are recognizing him are laughing at
him. And they're just like, hey, smash, 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 smash. And he, at one point, he's like not even looking at them. He's like, can you buy me a bottle? Then you can take as many pictures as you want.
And they don't do it. They just like, and then they get him to like, and we people say this later when it comes to the crime that he committed, but like he goes from being kind of sad and kind of like quiet to like he gets worked up and then all of a sudden he's manic and he's jumping up and down
violent.
And violent. Yeah.
So he'll be like traveling. He's like traveling all over the country and then he'll post where he is and someone will come and meet him and buy him things and pick him up and buy him drugs and buy him booze and buy him whatever.
It's usually women and it's so crazy. Like he just like I'm on Facebook and I'm in your town and come and meet me and it's just crazy.
So we're back in Fresno. It's 3 weeks after he goes viral.
Yeah.
And we're back with the cops, right? And so we're with, like, the car that was all bashed up. And the cops don't give a fuck that he's famous now.
Yes.
They just want to get to the bottom of it. And they're sort of struggling with the fact that, like, this guy is their key witness.
Right. Because we're at the murder. The guy's name is Jet McBride, the 6'9" mammoth man who was, like, crashed into that guy because he's black and was trying to, like, choke that woman.
The murderous racist.
The murderous racist. And so Kai is on the stand. He can't even. And like, doesn't know what hand to raise to swear in. It's just hard to watch.
Yeah.
But he sits down and we get a little bit more of the story of what happened in the car that led up to that guy driving into that person and pinning them against the utility vehicle.
So, yeah, like, apparently there's more to the story. What comes out on the stand is that Kai and the driver were smoking weed together. They were like in the car together.
Kai was asked if he rolled a joint with Jet McBride. Kai said he did. And in my interview with Jet, he was suggesting that Kai made the assumption that they were both ghosts after they were smoking their marijuana. And Kai said, I bet we could drive right through that truck right now and nobody would even see us.
He said to the murderous racist, I bet we could drive right through that truck right now and nobody would even see us.
Yeah, but then also the driver is also racist and says, look, I'm Jesus Christ. I can get away with anything. I'm going to kill this black guy right now. Watch me do it.
And also on top of that, the driver is proudly confessing to raping a 14-year-old girl.
Like there's so much happening. And like you said, Kai is such an unreliable narrator. We're getting so many stories here at once. No one, I don't know what to believe.
And according to Kai on the stand, the fact that this driver proudly confessed to raping a 14-year-old girl, that is the thing that made Kai snap.
Right.
And so then he violently attacked this guy. And the violence, as we learn, gets lost because of like the you're worthwhile demeanor. Like that's where we all first met him on the internet.
Yes.
That he's like giving all these people these affirmations where like the vibe was like, he's kind of crazy, but the good crazy and he's harmless and he's a hero. But like you hear this story and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like what exactly? So he knew this dude. They were like smoking together.
Right.
What exactly happened here?
And we don't really know.
Because Jessup, like that news piece, it makes it seem like Kai was like walking, minding his own business.
Yeah.
Saw this horrible thing happen.
Uh-huh.
And then like inserted himself into the story to be a hero.
Yeah.
But he was there the whole time.
And we get even more information about the pot later.
Yeah.
So we'll get there.
What happens is, so Kai hits him twice with the like blunt end of the hatchet, like the handle.
Ugh.
And then on the third time, he uses like the enormous blade.
Yes.
And that's where we get that insane photo.
Yes. And this is where more people are saying that like, so like he really wanted to take it to an extreme violent point.
Right.
Right. Now, again, I don't know the adrenaline. Like you're trying to save a woman's life. Like this man is squeezing her to death.
Right.
And maybe by the third blow, the guy hadn't let go of her yet. So
right.
I we don't get any information here, but they are reinforcing that Kai, though he did something heroic, also did something incredibly violent.
Right.
And that's where the high for him seems to come from.
Right, because there's no, like, I can't believe I had to do that. Uh-huh. There's just a lot of sort of, like, happy-go-lucky, like, he's giving affirmations
right.
after this horrible thing just happened.
Yes.
He witnessed, like, an almost murder, a definite hate crime,
right.
then another attempted murder, and that it's like, whoa.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker, and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in this satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta on March 11th, only on Prime Video.
Now we're meeting Gabriel Francisco.
Yeah, he's a lead singer of a band called The Redcoats.
I actually looked up some of their music and they're pretty good.
Okay.
I know.
Well, Kai comes along and he claims that he's an accomplished musician. He's had offers from all these major labels, etc.
Yeah, somebody asks this guy, Francisco, if he wants to do a show with Kai. And he's like, Kai, like Kai?
And he's not thrilled about doing it, but he's like, I kind of want the crowd that Kai would bring.
And he's also like, look, I thought the guy was ridiculous, but then somebody played me some YouTube videos of his music and he like, wasn't that bad.
He has a nice voice and just sounds like a campfire guy with an acoustic guitar. And we said yes because we wanted Kai's crowd. We wanted who was going to come out to see Kai, and then we wanted to kill it and win them over. I mean, that's what you do. It's like Rock Band, you know? You made 20 fans tonight. You made 50 fans.
Maybe it'll work for, like, Kai can get some exposure and maybe get some music stuff. He can get the crowd, like, all good,
and
right?
It's at a small, like, Fresno bar called Fulton 55.
Okay.
And we meet the manager, Tony Martin.
Because Kai shows up for soundcheck and he's a fucking nightmare. He's rude to everybody.
He's pissing everywhere.
He's demanding free beers because he's Kai.
And the guy's like, yeah, we don't do that here. And then, like,
I loved this manager, by the way.
Me too.
He runs a very tight fucking ship. I love it.
Because, like, how many of us have worked in, like, service industry jobs where the managers are awful?
Yeah.
This guy seems like he's got his staff's back. Because that's his big thing is, like, don't treat my staff badly or you're out of here.
And also, I was going to say, how many times have you heard, like, no, but I'm friends with whatever. Can I just have some free shit?
Yeah, it's not working with this manager.
And the thing is, like, sometimes he can.
Sometimes.
But it depends on how you ask me. And
exactly.
If I know you first.
Uh-huh.
If my friend Carrie walks into the bar, she's getting some free shit.
Of course.
Obviously.
But so this guy, Gabriel, the musician, says,
we do sound check, and he was talking about that day. The day that we hit the man in the head with a hatchet. And in Kai's words, he's bragging. He says, oh, man, you know, this guy picks me up and I offer him a joint, and he can't even handle his shit, man, because, like, I handed him a joint, but what he didn't know was it was laced, man.
Kai just confessed something major.
Right, because what Gabriel is saying is like, so just so I get this straight, he started a fire, put the fire out, and now he's a hero for putting out the fire.
Because what he's saying is that, like, so Kai gives the guy pot. The guy thinks he's just smoking pot, but it's laced with whatever, coke or crack or whatever it is. Then the guy does something crazy, is acting with, like, superhuman strength. Now he's being blamed for it, but really it was Kai who made that happen because he gave him the laced pot.
And then he's the hero for stopping it, but he made it happen.
Right.
And Gabriel's like, what the? I just wanted my band to get some exposure.
And Gabriel's just like, I'm not here for this shit. He's like a serious musician. And the photographers are like, Gabriel, get next to Kai
right.
so that, like, when Kai gets even more famous, this will be like, you can say, like, you have a picture with him. And Gabriel wants nothing to do with it.
But then on top of that, Kai keeps talking.
Yeah.
He's going on and on and on. And then he starts talking about how Kai was raped by this older man.
And how Kai is telling that story.
Part of the story is that Kai said he, quote, had to take him out. And while Kai is telling the story that includes sexual assault and also Kai's violent reaction to it,
yeah.
Gabriel's like, you can see it. There was just a flash of this, like, super intense anger and rage. And then he'd snap out of it as fast as he snapped into it. And that is super valid if you've
yes.
been through something horrible. But there's something about feeling very unhinged and uncomfortable being in this person's airspace.
And this is when we start to learn more about Kai and the actual like abuse that he has suffered.
Yeah.
Because remember, like this guy, like we just met him in Fresno like maybe 2 weeks ago. We're like, this whole story takes place over
this
3 months.
All just happened.
And so we don't know really anything about Kai's backstory, but we're about to get it.
Right.
So we go to New York City on May 10th, 2013. It's a little over 3 months since going viral. And the important thing here is that Kai makes a really disturbing Facebook post talking about the abuse he suffered when he was growing up.
First memories, I was in a crib and family was fussing over me. But I kept getting told that, quote, I had a demon. I would get locked in a room for 20 hours a day with a little porta potty camp toilet in the corner of the room. Then after that, my mouth filled with hot pepper and soap for yelling, fuck you, at the top of my lungs. Signing off, Happy Mother's Day.
And he ends the post by saying Happy Mother's Day.
Right. He posts that on Mother's Day. And like, we don't know anything about his backstory yet, but now he's telling us he's been like severely abused his whole life.
Right. And he told, so Jessup is back. We're going back in time a little bit. And Jessup's like, look, Kai told us about some truly horrible things that happened to him back in that very first interview.
And I just want to say that, like, all of this has been left out. Jessup has known this the whole time, but now we as the audience are just learning about the parts of the interview that did not make it to air.
Right. And that include his history of sexual assault and being raped. And as a kid, he would be locked in a cage. He lived in a cage for 4 years, and he says he was treated like an animal.
Yeah. And this rape that he tells Jessup about is a different rape than we heard about from earlier. The first time he says he was raped, he was 14. This rape happened when he was 17 years old and living on the street.
And then I thought, okay, when he's on the stand saying that this guy, the murderous racist, bragged about raping a 14-year-old, and that's what made Kai snap, like things are starting to fall into place a little bit.
Exactly.
So we meet Jeremy, who's Kai's first cousin.
So we go back to Edmonton and get like Kai's, I'm like, when are we going to meet his family and get some actual context And now we're here. So he's from Canada.
Yeah. And Jeremy's like, look, we were like brothers. Yeah. And he goes, I know Kai as Caleb. That's his given name. And, you know, whatever. So on the first video, Kai's like, oh, I don't have any family and everyone like is dead or doesn't care about me.
Or I'm dead to everyone in my family.
And Jeremy's like, wait, not to me.
Yeah.
Not at all. And so Jeremy was like, it was heartbroken to hear that.
But Jeremy also confirms, he's like,
growing up, he was loud. He was funny and mischievous, very mischievous. I was able to act like a boy and I was able to go outside and play. Caleb wasn't given that privilege. He was kept at home. His mom locked him in the room for quite some time.
Jeremy's like, his mom tried to do that to me once. We ran the fuck out of there.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Jeremy confirms that Kai would get locked up in rooms.
Yes. And he goes, it was so sad. This is so fucking heartbreaking. Yeah. That, like, he could hear the kids still playing outside.
Yes.
It'd be, like, summertime and 5 o'clock. And, like, he'd have to be trapped in that room.
And we also learned that at 13 years old, his mother had, like, had it with him and sends him to a place called Bosco Homes, which is, like, it's, quote, a home for troubled teens or kids from families who didn't want them.
Fuck. Jeremy's also here to confirm the flashes of rage. He would get super, even as a kid, of course, when he's being abused and treated terribly, these flashes of rage and anger, and then he'd snap out of it very quickly. And now, fucking this bitch, Shirley, his stupid fucking asshole waste of a human life mother is here.
I was wondering how you were going to feel about Shirley.
How fucking dare you lock a kid in a cage?
What the
fuck is wrong with you?
And she also has no remorse about it because she acknowledges.
She says it all for his own good.
She's like, I never locked him in a room except for when I would lock him in a room.
Well, not in the bad. I didn't lock him in a room. Not in a bad way.
Yeah. Because she says, and like, probably every parent, especially single parents, can relate to this.
I had to put, for a short period of time, stop the ability of him getting out of the room too early because he was a free spirit and would get up earlier than I did and get into stuff that could harm him. And being a responsible parent needed to not allow that to happen. And it was for a short period of time for his best interest and the safety, you know, of a little guy.
Yeah, because God knows she can't fucking be awake before 8 a.m. She has to sleep in. Shirley, you suck.
She Shirley totally does suck, but we are definitely losing a lot of actual Like, give me an example, Shirley.
Yes.
Are you saying, like, he would get up and, like, play with the blender and, like, that was annoying and so you or are you saying he would get up and try to set the house on fire? Because that is an example that we get at some point.
And instead of trying to help him,
she
threw him away.
Exactly. But there's also, we just don't get any context.
No.
You know what I mean? And, like, he does end up murdering somebody. So, like, like, it is, you know, like, he, like, those impulses live within him.
Right.
So it's all bad. It's all bad.
So now the Mother's Day post where he described all this happened May 10th, 2013.
Yeah.
3 days later, it's May 13th, we're in Clark, New Jersey.
Yes.
73-year-old Joseph Galfie is murdered. He's beaten to death in his home. And he's a judge. He was due in court and he didn't show up. And so his friend, I'm like, holy shit, 73?
Yeah. Jeez. And like the police get to the house because the clerk called and was like, this is unlike him to not be here. They go inside. The cops say there's no forced entry. Nothing is disturbed or ransacked. They go into the back bedroom and they find his body on the floor. He's just in underwear and socks and he's like lying in a pool of his own blood.
Yeah. So that's where they say the only like mess in the house is where the murder slash beating took place.
Yes.
So they look throughout the house and they find a piece of paper with a phone number on it. And the name is Lawrence Kai. And they also find a train ticket from the day before.
They also don't know who Lawrence Kai is, so they give him a goog and they find Kai.
They find
Kai. They're like, wait a second, is that what police do? We don't know we just give a goog?
I guess. But also they're in New Jersey. Like maybe it didn't make, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it has been 3 months, but things go viral and then they're not viral anymore.
I'm not saying they should have, I'm just saying it was seemed strange to me that like that's what they did to figure out who Kai was.
I should hope they Google.
I guess.
At the very least.
I guess.
So they check the video from the train station to see if they can see this Joseph Galfie guy, the murder victim, and like who he was with.
We don't get video right away oftentimes, but in this case we did. And in the video, you could see Mr. Galfie and you can clearly see him purchase a ticket. And he takes the ticket and he turns and he gives it to somebody off camera. And you can see it's another male, longish hair, sort of curly, with a backpack, and they're waiting for the train to come.
It's 100% Kai. I just spent 90 minutes watching videos of him. It's him.
No, it's 100% Kai.
So they're on the train platform in New Jersey and they hug.
Yes.
And then they wait for the train to come together. And like the train comes and that's it. So the cops are like, we need to find Kai because he was the last person to see this guy.
And, you know, they know that Kai had a phone, but the phone is dead. They release a statement to the press and now the press cannot believe it. They're like, because the press.
How did you not see this coming?
And the thing is, all that anyone has seen on the news or in social media about this guy is the fun.
Right.
Singing, dancing guy. So all of a sudden, when the press were like, so there's a murdered judge in New Jersey, and guess who they're fucking looking for in connection?
Well, I take it back. Maybe you didn't see this coming, but something not good was going to come of this.
I mean, I think when we look at like Brad and Lisa and Jessup, how did they not see it coming?
Because you know what I mean? Kimmel's guy is like, I can't believe this. 3 months ago, I was trying to get this guy on TV, quote, so we can all enjoy him.
I know.
And now cops are looking at him for murder. And I said, so we can all enjoy him?
I know. What? I know. And like everyone, we get 5 minutes of round robin of Jessup being like, I should have seen it coming, but I don't actually think he would do something like this. And Lisa being like, he was at my house. I could have been killed. It's like, you all knew.
Shut up, all of you. Shut up. Like, I don't.
Shut up.
And the reason I mean, I would take issue with it anyway, but like, we're almost at the end of this thing. So we spent 90 minutes with Lisa and fucking the Kimmel guy and all this stuff, but now there's a murder and we don't get any answers.
I know.
So I really don't need to waste these last 5 minutes about their fucking feelings.
I know.
Like, what happened?
I know.
So now 2 days after this guy's body is found.
Yes.
Kai goes on Facebook and writes like a super horrifying account of just saying, like, what would you do if you woke up? And he describes basically, like, waking up after
being drugged
and raped.
Yes.
And so he goes, like, what would you do? And so now, like, everyone looking back is like, well, this is pretty ominous. Like, I think we all know what he did.
Right, because, like, the news has reported that they're looking for him in connection with this murder. Now he's saying, I've done something horrible because, once again, I was sexually assaulted.
Right. So it only takes them a couple days to track him down because he's, like, staying with, like, his quote, fans from Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
So by Thursday, May 16th, he's in Philly.
An employee inside a Starbucks recognized him and quickly called 911.
Police arrived. He was not there. Officers began to look in the immediate area. One officer took a chance and went to the Greyhound bus station, saw him in the waiting area, called for backup, and made an arrest.
One of the cops was like, why don't I check the Greyhound station? And he goes and finds Kai. Good job, everybody. Good job, Philly.
Yes.
I love Philly, by the way.
Okay.
They always show up for like live shows and stuff.
They do.
They're great. We love you, Philly.
Yeah. So he's arrested and we see parts of the interview. like at the down at the station.
And he, I just gotta say, he looks so different.
He does.
He looks like, he doesn't look like the same person at all.
And he doesn't look well.
No.
He just doesn't, right?
But there's, but like, he's also speaking in this interview, which we see, he's speaking coherently in full sentences for the first time in this entire documentary.
Yeah. And he's like asking questions.
Yes.
You know? So this is the story he tells, that he like runs into this Joseph Galfi guy in Times Square.
Yeah.
And Joseph Galfi's like, hey kid, you know, you look lost. Where are you going? And Kai says, Jersey. And Joseph goes, oh, cool, same. So he offers to get Kai some food. And they get Italian food. They have some beers. Joseph wanted his beer in a glass instead of a bottle. Like, well, all of these details.
And, like, because he's saying we're back. Like, the guy invites him back to his house.
Right.
Like, come and stay with me.
Because they were both going to Jersey.
Right. And according to Kai, this Joseph Galfi man pours Kai a beer. The beer tastes a little bit weird. And then all of a sudden, Kai is super sleepy.
So he goes to bed. Now, he wakes up the next morning and he describes a metallic taste in his mouth. And there was, sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
Ejaculate on the side of his mouth.
Yes.
And on his face. And
I mean, this is according to Kai.
This is according to Kai. And Kai's like, I didn't confront him. And he just like says, okay, like it's time for me to go home now.
Yeah.
Because he needs to get out of there. So they go to New Jersey Transit. They buy Kai.
This is where he buys Kai the train ticket.
And
he goes to Asbury Park to like meet fans slash friends.
And they like hug goodbye, which everyone is all hung up on.
Now, here's the bullshit that we're not going to do. Because the cops are like,
you always want to know why. He said he was sexually assaulted Saturday night. Sunday morning, we have him leaving and embracing his sexual assaulter. And then he contacts the person who sexually assaulted him later on that same day and comes back to Clark.
And then later, when he can't find a place to stay, he calls the guy and he goes back. We know that victims of sexual assault do this stuff.
Yeah.
And like the cop was like, this is proof that the guy didn't sexually assault him.
No, no, no,
and
no,
I'm not
no,
saying
no.
that the guy did. I don't know. But like, this is definitely not proof that he didn't.
I could not agree more.
I was like, what? We're doing this?
No, we're not.
No.
Not on
no,
the show. Netflix might try to pull some shit. Netflix, I'm sorry, you've been pulling some shit this whole fucking documentary.
I know.
Like, enough. So, like.
She's in a real mood, fam.
I don't understand.
I know.
What we're doing.
I know.
So, you know, yeah. So Kai's friend doesn't show up. And so he calls this Joseph guy back for a place to stay.
Yeah.
They had burgers, a few beers, and that's all Kai remembers.
Well, because then he says he woke up the next day with his pants pulled down.
Right.
So now he's saying he was sexually assaulted the first night he stayed there. And then he comes back again, once again is drugged and wakes up with his pants down. And this is when he fights back.
And I thought maybe there was a chance that, like, because this is such a, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, like a triggering thing for him.
Yeah.
Because this has happened to him in the past and he gets very violent when he even hears someone talking about it.
Right.
That maybe he like went back with a purpose to fucking kill this guy.
Well, the thing that we're going to learn about Kai is that he has like pictures of known pedophiles on him when he's arrested.
Yeah.
And he's sharing like articles on Facebook saying like, is it like being a vigilante to like hunt pedophiles? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
So like we do know that Kai like did have that kind of feeling. Whether or not Joseph Galfi sexually assaulted Kai or not, if he assumed that Joseph Galfi was a pedophile, did he go there with the intention to kill him?
Right.
Kai also gets like, quote, wise in his interview with the cops and asks for an attorney.
Yes.
And so the cops end the interview and then Kai quickly is like,
is the death penalty legal here in New Jersey?
Okay, we're done, okay? You asked for an attorney, so we're gonna have to stop talking, okay? All right? Good luck.
Is the death penalty legal here? And they're like, we're not telling you.
Yeah. They're like, you said the magic word lawyer,
yeah,
so sorry, bye.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I know.
So
I looked it up. It's not. It was outlawed in 2007 in New Jersey.
Yeah, but like, what a question, right?
What a question.
So they have all of this, you know, these posts about these vigilante killings and this list of known pedophiles and the idea of like, did Kai have information on this Joseph Galfi guy? Was he one of them? And is that why
we're here? Did he legitimately sexually assault Kai?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then he came back. Of course.
Yeah.
So now we're in court and
they speed right through this.
This is why it makes me. Why did we spend an hour and a half on the fucking Kardashian producer? I don't understand it. And like the Jimmy Kimmel story could have been told in 5 minutes.
I know.
God.
It's always the hand over the eye.
Are we telling the story or not?
I know.
Like, are we just going to tell, like, make the documentary about how these people were exploiting him and, like, take them to task a little bit.
Yes.
Instead of there are, like, cute narrators? Like, no.
I know.
So Kai goes to court and the judge tells him, like, look, you curated this image.
I'm sorry. It's just, it's the hand over the, it's my favorite
thing
that you do.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely, you're dead right.
I can't handle it anymore. So Kai's in court and the judge tells
tonight
him.
Tonight on Live with Jillian Bezzavalli, Lady Gaga.
Ooh. Hey, Stephanie. Girl. So Kai goes to court and the judge tells him, look, you curated this whole like free spirit nonsense.
Yeah.
But the jury saw another side of you. You're this cold-blooded, calculated, callous killer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second. I think no nuance here. There's no like two, like what?
And we don't get any of the evidence that was presented. We don't know what the jury saw. You
and
know?
We also, like, so we spend all of this time with the reality people. And
we should also say, Kai fully admits to killing the guy.
Yes.
He's not trying to say he didn't do it. He's just saying he did it in self. He's not even saying he did it in actual self-defense. He's saying he did it because the guy raped him.
Right, of course. But, like, there's no, like, we wasted all of this time and there's no, we end with all of these questions. Like, no talk of mental illness, no discussion about, like, what drugs he was doing and how that can affect someone and, like, brain chemistry.
Yeah.
Nothing about that school he went to as a teenager. No accountability for the mother. Nothing else about, like, how did he get to where he is today? Like, we didn't get the full, we didn't even get close to the full story.
Yeah. You're sort of left feeling like Kai is lying about everything.
But I don't know how, we don't get
and
any.
And I'm not saying I feel that
no,
way.
No, I know what you mean.
You're meant to, like, in the end, Kai's, like, the villain. And obviously he murdered this guy.
Right.
But we, like, you're not, like, the documentary doesn't have a point of view. It's not like, you know, this is what happened to Kai and this is what we think happened. And it's fine to sort of present all the evidence and let us decide, but you didn't.
I have highlighted this doc sucks.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree. Like, I liked the documentary. Both of us went into this knowing it was super problematic.
Yeah.
And that a lot of people had a lot of, like, difficulty with it. I think going into it knowing that it was problematic and being able to watch it through that lens, I was able to experience it a little bit more and ask my own questions or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So, do you want to know about the murderous rapist?
Yes.
Murderous racist rapist?
Yes.
He is guilty of assault with a deadly weapon. He's serving 9 years in a mental health facility, and this is where we get a bomb.
Right. This is major breaking news.
And this is how it ends. We get on-screen text that the toxicology test didn't find anything other than weed in his system. Because remember Kai was like, oh, I drugged him and he couldn't handle
it?
No.
Nope, he's just a crazy racist.
Like, he's just a fucking racist.
Yeah.
But also, like, wait, what?
I know.
So, like, but that was, like, presented as fact.
Right.
And then, like, this is a big deal.
Absolutely.
Like, Kai said a lot of shit on that stand.
But we only heard that Kai didn't say it on the stand. He said it to that musician. So,
oh, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We can't trust anything Kai says.
No. And then we learn, like, it ends where Kai is serving 57 years in a maximum security prison in New Jersey, and all of his appeals are being rejected, and he just keeps appealing.
Yeah.
And that's fucking it. Netflix.
I know.
What is going on?
Oh my God, girl, we did the hatchet wielding hitchhiker. Wow, what a doozy patoozy.
Wow. What?
Fam, come see us on tour. We are having such a great time. We just did our sold-out show in Charlotte. It was incredible. We're going to be in Denver July 13th, Chicago July 15th, Washington, D.C. July 22nd, Seattle August 9th, L.A. August 11th, and New York City August 26th.
Can I wear the same outfit at every show?
I'm probably going to. Are you kidding? Of course.
Okay, cool.
Also, I'm doing my traveling book party, fam. I'm going to be in Detroit and St. Louis, and I'm going to be in London on August 4th.
Yes.
Please come and see me. Go to patrickfails.com to get the rest of those dates.
Go, 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 go.
We love you, fam.
We love you.
We were mad today.
I was going to say, like, kind of angry.
I know
people don't like that, but sorry.
No, I think people get mad. I think they get on board.
Okay, we'll see.
All
okay,
right.
Thanks.
Bye. Maria Menounos was in my class.
Oh, cool.
So she's on TV.
Who's that?
She...
Who is that? Is she... that name sounds very familiar. I just can't place her.
It was just the way you said it.
I wonder, is there like a course in The Voice or is it one
Breaking
week?
News.
Yeah, where it's like everywhere you go. Like, do they... Because I know it's a thing. They teach you. They teach you that. I just want to know if it's a full semester.
The only other person in New York City who's in bed earlier than me is... what's his name?
Steve?
No, who's the Tonight Show guy? Fuck up the joke.
Your husband?
No. Oh my God. Why can't I think of his name?
I've heard from parents that, like, if you're at the playground and your kid falls, the worst thing you can do is go, oh my God, are you okay?
Don't.
Because then they see everyone on them and they just start crying.
Or if you're Steve and you're at the playground with me and I fall.
Right.
that horrible woman, Cloris Leachman, made me cry. And then Lisa Gibbons was standing in line behind her at the concierge desk and said, I just want to tell you that you've been doing a very good job.
That's very nice.
She asked to speak to the manager. To tell
That's
the manager
really nice. That's a really nice thing.
She was really
the
nice.
The best kind of white woman speaking to a manager. Giving you your flowers.
Be the Lisa you want to yeah. see in the world.
That's a good kind of Karen.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.